Good morning, friends. This is Tony Mitra, and today I have an interesting podcast for you all, a talk with Miss Jennifer Dumoulin of Hudson, Quebec. Hudson is a municipality on the outskirts of Montreal, and the reason for that talk is to cover the famous court case known as Spratek versus Hudson. We often call it Hudson versus Canada. Basically, Hudson municipality banned the use of cosmetic and other pesticides on their lawns in 1991. This decision was challenged in court by the spray company and probably backed by the manufacturers of the pesticides in the local courts in Quebec, and Hudson won that case. And then that was again challenged in the Supreme Court of Canada, and once again Hudson won the case, and the highest law of the land upheld Hudson's decision and right to ban these pesticides. This court case, the long chain of court cases lasted for almost 10 years. And then since then, the ban is still implemented. And I spoke with the environmental agent, Jennifer, who was not there during this saga, but who has joined more recently, but who was there ready and willing to shed light on this issue, which is of so much interest for the rest of us to learn how far a municipality has or has not the right to ban what it considers a harmful substance. So over to my talk with Jennifer. So now I have to ask you some simple questions, Jennifer. I know you were not involved with the municipality when it all started in 1991.
Right.
And that you might have joined Hudson Municipality. When did you join?
2 years ago, 2011.
Okay, good. Now, to get back to the history, although it's only learned knowledge for you, you were not directly involved, but this movement, this decision by Hudson, was it triggered by complaint from citizens, or how did it trigger?
That's exactly what happened. In fact, from my knowledge, Mrs. June Irwin, she's a doctor, but she's a dermatologist.
Yeah.
Okay, so she had small children, in fact, babies, coming into her office with allergic reactions on their skin. And she tried to determine what it was. And as far as she was concerned, she strongly believed that it was from contact with pesticides. So obviously when children play on the ground, they often, you know, take the grass and play with it with their hands and all that stuff. And since the pesticides are applied directly on the ground, they can also be absorbed by the skin. So she, in fact, started telling everyone that she knew to stop using pesticides because it was causing health problems directly to the people that were playing on the lawns. So normally small children, but also adults can be affected if you're walking barefoot or things like that. So she began talking with the members of council, and of course in the beginning everybody thought she was crazy, and they didn't really appreciate her having her complaints, but after a while they started realizing that, you know, maybe she's right, maybe there is something to go with this. So they looked into it, and the mayor at that time, who was Michael Elliott, he decided to go ahead with it and said, you know what, let's get rid of pesticides on our territory. Of course, then they had to investigate with the lawyers to see if that was even feasibly possible. So what they did is they went to normal court, and they tried to get rid of it by saying, we're applying this law. But then the companies, the pesticide companies, went to a higher level of court and said, you aren't allowed to have this kind of law. Like, you as a municipality are not allowed to say that we can't use it because the federal government allows us to use it. And that's where the competence issue comes in. So it's, in Quebec, we call it la loi sur les compétences municipales. So what are we allowed to do and not allowed to do as a municipality? And that's where I believe it was the Supreme Court of Canada many years later decided that we are allowed, in fact, to have a bylaw to protect our citizens. If our citizens here believe that that product is toxic for us and our environment and they don't want to have it on our territory, then we as a municipality are allowed to apply that bylaw. So yeah, I guess it would have a direct impact with the GMOs, because technically GMOs, but again, you would have to prove that the GMOs do impact you negatively.
I understand. Now, that was a remarkable, precise and detailed statement, Jennifer. I have to ask you to repeat some things a little slowly for me. First of all,
yep.
The person who was in charge of this issue in the municipality at that time, which was not June Irwin, but some gentleman. Can you repeat his name again?
Michael Elliott.
Michael Elliott. Okay.
Yeah, he was the mayor.
Oh, he was the mayor. I see.
Yeah, he was the mayor. And the person in charge at the municipality at that time, she was the director general. And her name is Louise.
Louise.
Villandre.
Villandre.
V-I-L-L-A-N. D-R-E.
Louis Villandre. Fantastic. Now, another thing is you mentioned something about competence in French to do with the extent by which you can pass a law or not. Correct?
Yes. So, in the province of Quebec, we have certain laws that we have to follow. A municipality cannot decide certain things because there may be not, it's not their jurisdiction. Sometimes the jurisdiction is provincial, sometimes the jurisdiction is regional, and sometimes the jurisdiction is municipal. So there are specific laws in Quebec that state that a municipality is or is not allowed to create a law on something.
I see. And what is this one called in French, and what would be the approximate English translation of that?
So the approximate English translation is the law on municipal competencies.
Law on municipal competencies.
Okay, so are we competent to apply such bylaw? In French, it's la loi.
La loi.
Sur les compétences.
Okay.
Municipal.
Beautiful. Fantastic. So in your judgment, this particular law of municipal competencies should be there for all provinces, although Quebec being a little special case, the details might be a little different from other provinces, or you think it should be more or less same?
I have no idea if other provinces have that type of law, but I would assume that they should, because again, the federal government has different jurisdictions. Ontario, for example, the province will have a certain jurisdiction, and then they have, again, regional and municipal governments. So I'm assuming that they do have similar laws, but I'm not familiar with them.
Okay, so this part is very good. Now, did they just pass a vote? How did that resolution or that decision or that vote turn into a law? You just write it and sign it and tell the police, or there is some other mechanism involved?
So that's pretty much what they did in the beginning. So they decided as a council that they were going to create a new bylaw. They wrote it, and they voted, and they decided to apply it. But as I stated before, there are several companies, especially pesticide companies, that believe that they do not have the right to do that. So they brought them to court.
Yeah, this I understand.
And so that's when they stated, you're not allowed to do this, and then the government said, yes, they are. And that's why it became historical, because most municipalities didn't believe that they had the right to do it. But because of the fact that the municipality is by that way, but by applying those bylaws, they are protecting the health and safety of their residents. That's why they decided they were allowed to use that bylaw.
Beautiful.
So yeah, they pretty much just wrote it and applied it. So the bylaw itself states that no pesticides are allowed to be used on the territory of Hudson whatsoever. Okay, so no, back then biopesticides didn't exist, but so they just banned everything. You can't even use salt on the ground to control something without a permit from the town. And so that was an issue. It was definitely in the paper, so everybody knew about it. And of course, if you're in contravention to that bylaw, then yes, you would receive a fine. Specifically, I'll just pull that up right now. Specifically, if you are in an infraction for the first time, it's between $300 to $1,000. For a normal person. If it's a company, then it's between $1,000 and $2,000. If it's a repeat infraction, meaning that you're doing, that you've been caught, it can be between $600 and $2,000, or up to $4,000 for a company.
I see.
Okay, so that was the actual specific infraction. So no, nobody goes to jail. We don't have the power as a municipality to do that. It's not a criminal act. It's just against the town bylaw.
Yeah, I understand that. Okay, so you said that Hudson was taken to court at different levels by the pesticide companies. Who were the pesticide companies? Were they local small players or were they multinational big players? Who were they?
I think they were pretty big players. The thing is because I wasn't there back then, I don't know all the details. But do you remember I sent you an email about the movie that they made, The Chemical Reaction?
Yes.
Okay, so if you watch that documentary, you'll have the information about all the specific companies that they had to deal with. And it's actually probably available online.
Okay, I got that.
Actually, I'm looking it up right now. I think it's Spraytech, the company.
Spraytech.
Yeah.
Now, next case is this multi-level legal challenge, which lasted years. Whereabouts did Miss June Irving get into the municipality, or did she ever get in, or she never got in?
You mean involved?
Involved like in the court case or any of this, as a member of the municipality standing for election. Did she get into it personally at any time?
Yeah, so she was the initiator. She's the one who first made the complaints and pushed the council members, the politicians, to make those decisions. So, yeah, so there's also the perception that you have to take into account that in the long term, it's cost effective, because if you have to think about all of the consequences of whatever product you're talking about, so in this case we're talking about pesticides, people's health problems, it costs money to the health, our health society, right? So when people get sick, we have to pay medical bills, we have to pay the hospitals, we have to pay the medications, all that stuff.
Of course.
So you have to think, okay, it's an initial investment, that's a lot, but in the long term, for the society as a whole, it'll be less expensive.
Of course. It's not different that way from building a bridge across the river or something, you know. Cost a lot of money, but next 20 years it will bring in a lot of benefit in one way or another. You know?
Exactly. I think that for your cause, the most important thing is to prove how GMOs really negatively affect people's health, possibly also our environment, if it does. So to prove that part is going to be a real big issue, because if you want to have bylaws passed and be upheld by the higher level courts, you need to prove that aspect, that it really does have a negative impact. And other than that, it's just applying the bylaw afterwards. Make sure that you're applying it in a way that's feasible, because a lot of small municipalities don't have the qualifications to properly apply a bylaw like that. Somebody to tell the difference between a product that is grown by GMO or grown naturally, it's not always easy, right? So you have to make sure you have the resources required in order to protect those bylaws and make sure that it's followed even 20 years down the road. So that's pretty much it.
I see. So I have a side question. This proving that GMO or whatever is harmful to health, and the environment, did Hudson actually provide the proof that it was harming people playing in the grass?
Well, technically, what the thing is pesticides all have side effects, right? So even back then, when pesticides were being approved by high levels of government, then they would have a pesticide label that would specifically show, you know, if you ingest it, this is the problem. If you have direct contact with your skin, it could be poisonous to you or something like that. So just that was proof enough. And of course, you know, the June Irwin aspect, she's a dermatologist, right? And she probably did testify with regards to the fact that she was seeing a direct correlation between the pesticides being used and the people that were living there having skin rashes and things like that. So that was proof enough.
So
because the idea is that you're doing this to protect people, but what are you protecting them from, right? So you have to explain the dangers or the negative effects.
Absolutely, yes. And I thank you very, very much for your time.
It was my pleasure.
So that brings our talk to a close. Of course, it leads to many other links, such as, for instance, the Municipal Act, which applies to Quebec and jots down what all rights the municipalities may have. And there is this chapter on pesticide issue, from the famous case of Spratik versus Hudson. But what are the corresponding laws in British Columbia? Are they same or are they different when it comes to rights of municipalities that needs to be checked? There is this Cities and Towns Act, which also has provisions on what cities and towns can or cannot do, and jurisdictions and so on. And then there is this Bill 88, which was being opposed in Ontario. The Bill 88 was essentially aimed at reintroducing or reallowing the pesticide that were banned in the Pesticides Act in the so-called Ontario's world-class cosmetic pesticide ban, and the follow-up on that issue. There is this Environmental Law Center from University of Victoria in British Columbia and its own submission on restricting cosmetic pesticide use in British Columbia from 2010. There is this mention by Jennifer of this movie called Chemical Reaction. It's a 70-minute feature documentary movie that tells the story of one of the most powerful and effective community initiatives in the history of North America. It started with one lone voice in 1984, Dr. June Irwin, a dermatologist in Hudson, Quebec, who noticed a connection between her patient's health condition and their exposure to chemical pesticides and herbicides. The particular pesticide in question was 2,4-D, which is in one form or another come back to us in agricultural scene, if not in the lawns. So all these links are to be followed up, and for those who need to know more. And in the meantime, we hope this talk with Jennifer of Hudson, Quebec, has been of help to listeners. And with that, I take your leave for today. See you again next time.